Tandem Nomads, Episode 10.
To work or not to work? To work or not to work? That is the question.
Welcome to Tandem Nomads, where inspiring expat partners from around the world share with you how they turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. Every Monday, you will be able to hear their stories, and every Thursday, I will bring to you great insights, tips, and advice on specific topics and challenges of relocation. So are you following your partner abroad for his or her career? Do you feel the need to build your own source of accomplishment? Then Tandem Nomads is the place for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter. Hello, Nomad Nation. This is Emel Dregi. And today we are going to talk about all the options, but also the challenges that expat partners have to face with in relocation regarding their careers, job, and financial independence. So I call this episode To Work or Not to Work. Have you noticed how often people tend to ask, what do you do when they meet somebody for the first time? Isn't it amazing how our professional lives seem to identify us as individuals, especially in the Western world? And I have heard a lot of expat partners saying how much they struggle when they are asked this question, what do you do? I will dedicate in the future a special episode to help you answer this question in an attractive and confident way. I will bring to you some practical tips to build what we call your elevator pitch. An elevator pitch is a 10 to 30 seconds presentation that gives enough clear and interesting information to make people interested and want to know more about you. An attractive elevator pitch is a great way to achieve your objectives when networking in a new group of people. These objectives could be, for example, finding a job, promoting a project or a business, raising funds for an association, or simply connecting with new friends in a new country. So this will be the topic of a future episode. But today I want to talk of the challenges and the decision we make as expat partners regarding our careers, regarding the jobs we take, regarding our relationship as an individual to our professional careers, but also our financial independence, which is one of the main issues, honestly, of expat partners who end up most of the time depending on their partners' jobs and income. So we can't deny that we live in a society where there is a lot of pressure to be active and successful professionally. Even stay-at-home moms, and now more and more stay-at-home dads, are sometimes judged, or at least feel judged, although they probably have the most important job in the world. But I realized very recently that we have to put aside what we think people think of us and ask ourselves the real questions. Do we need to work or do we want to work? If we do, what is the real motivation behind it? And this is one of the questions I'm going to focus a lot on in this episode. If we decide to work, what is the real reason behind it? And being able to answer this question is going to help you take the right decision and avoid some frustrations. It's a crucial question to answer to make the right choices when we look for our professional opportunities as expat partners. For many reasons, it is difficult to find a job and build a career when moving regularly from a country to another to support our partners' careers. So let's start with the first question to ask yourself. Do you really want to work or do you really need to work? You know by now that my motto for Tandem Nomads is turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. So choosing not to work to take care of family, study, or just enjoy all the great activities of the host country is
itself an opportunity that expat partners could take advantage of, an opportunity that might not have been possible in the home country for some financial reasons, for instance. So if it is a mutual agreement in the tandem, if both parties are fine with it, and if it doesn't create any imbalances in the relationship, there should be no reason to feel uncomfortable about not working. Now, let's say that your answer for the question, do you want or need to work, is that you do, and that having a job is important for you, then there are several questions that you should ask yourselves to be able to take the right decision to reach your goal. If you are looking for professional opportunities and you struggle finding one that suits you in your location, defining precisely what you are looking for and what are your expectations could really help take the right actions and look for opportunities in the right place. In fact, it can be very frustrating to just go in every direction, try and drop every job you might find for the sake of just being active. This is something that I realize as expat partners we tend to do a lot. We move from a country to another and then we just jump on any opportunity that comes because we're worried that we might not have any other. And this later on could actually harm our resumes because it might confuse future employers of seeing such different jobs and tasks that we've done in our resume. It's not always good to show that you've been very flexible and doing lots of things. This is a feedback that I had personally, saying sometimes that, yeah, changing too much, it's actually not always a good sign for employees because it shows a lack of stability, and this is something you don't want to show. So the first question to help you define why do you want or need to find a job? First, is it for financial reasons? Do you need that money? Expat jobs are not always as interesting financially as we think, especially nowadays where there's a lot of competition in the field of expatriation. Therefore, a second income in the household might be useful to provide more comfort. There's also another reason that might be important for you to work. The fact that working brings you financial independence and financial security. It is very important to acknowledge this need that you want to be financially independent. Especially nowadays, I know that a lot of couples live together but with separate accounts and they make it an important point in their relationship. A lot of women and men have a hard time relying on the income of their partners to live. Not necessarily because the partner is not willing to share openly his or her income, but because there is a little feeling of insecurity or even sometimes guilt when spending the money that was earned by the other. God, I remember the feeling that I had the first months after I quit my job and joined Michael in Iran. Every time I wanted to buy something that was not related to real necessities, I really, really had a hard time and a bad feeling in my stomach. I used to be independent financially for many years, and suddenly I felt the need to consult my husband every time I wanted to buy something, and that was really not a good feeling. I remember one day going to a garage sale and found a beautiful original Art Deco couch. I love Art Deco furniture. If it was my money, I know that I would have bought that couch right away, with no hesitation. But Michael was not with me. I couldn't even call him because he was on a business trip. So when he came back, I showed him the picture of the couch. He really fell in love with it too. And he was wondering and asking me, why didn't I get it? I tried to explain him very honestly this time what feeling I went through when I was thinking of purchasing this couch. And I think that he got a little upset when I told him that I didn't feel comfortable spending the money that wasn't mine. That is when we started a real conversation that really helped me get over that feeling. Unless the costs were extraordinary, we would need to both trust each other in the way we spend our money. And that's the fact that he told me that it was our money and that he would also consult me if he had to make a special purchase really helped me get over this feeling of total insecurity and being completely dependent financially on someone. And this feeling does affect our identities, and I'm sure that you can relate with that. So this conversation, like I said, changed a lot and helped me release myself from this little resentment I had sometimes towards him. As in a way, Michael symbolized the reason why I chose to quit my job and consequently didn't earn any more a steady income like before. However, it is still important for me to try to increase my personal income to provide more to our common pot, but also to provide a minimum of financial security for myself, especially regarding retirement, for example, because if we don't work, we are not putting enough money for our retirement on the side, and God forbid, you never know what are the incidents that can happen in life. So these are one of my motivations today of really making sure to work towards my financial independence. It's not so much towards him anymore, but this is something that I know that a lot of expat partners struggle with. So like I just said, the first question here is to ask yourself, how important is your financial independence for you and for your partner and for your relationship? If financial independence is your priority, then you know that you have to look for a job that pays the income you would need to reach that stage. That could already help you make a decision of what type of jobs you're looking for. Maybe then it won't matter so much what kind of job, and if it's only about the money, you can at least focus on that direction. But there is a thing here that you might bump into, like I did when I arrived in New York. How hard are you ready to work to reach the financial independence that you're looking for, and how much of your private and family life are you ready to sacrifice for it? Because that is sometimes the cost of financial independence. I'm going to give you a personal example. I stumbled with this issue only a year ago, when I considered dropping my business as it would take way too long to start to settle a new clientele in New York. So I considered dropping my business and starting a steady job just to fill out my need of financial security. That is when I realized that in order to earn a reasonable salary in my field, I would have to work very, very long hours, come back home late, not be able to support my husband with his business events that often happen like once or twice a month at home, and most importantly, I wouldn't be able to go on holidays with him, as his job offers 5 weeks holidays, while in New York, most jobs offer at best 2 weeks a year. So it would really change our lifestyle and maybe even our relationship if I started having a job for the sake of just earning money. Also, I stumbled with another financial incompatibility with my expat life. If I took a job in New York, I would lose my current health insurance, and this is something I really could not afford in New York, as health expenses are totally crazy. So at this point, financial independence is not necessarily what is best for me, in a way, because it would cost much more money to work than not to work. I actually know other examples of expat partners in New York where the spouse would want to work and would look for a job and realize that the cost of the nanny and the kindergarten would be even much higher than the income that the job would bring. So ask yourself, is it really the financial independence and security that you're looking for? And if it's that, then is it compatible with your lifestyle? Is it possible? Is it in any way going to hurt you to take any job in terms of career, which we're going to talk about now, but also in terms of private life? So I'm telling you these stories because I think it is very important to know at what cost you are ready to work for your financial independence. As an expat partner in certain countries, it really doesn't do the math. I really encourage you to do the math and also figure out what is at stake for you, for your relationship, and for your family if you decide to work in order to secure your financial independence. I'm not saying that it's not possible, but I'm saying that there might be other options to reach your financial goal. You see, the real issue with being an expat partner and willing to find a job with a main goal to earn money is that often we only have a couple of years in a host country. So we might tend to take the first job that pays enough and make short-term decisions based on the number of years we know we are staying in this country. It actually even gets fuzzier and a bit more challenging when we don't know exactly how long we will stay. This year, I really learned that it is important to think of the long term. Every time I moved to a country with Michael, I really thought of, okay, what I'm going to take with me once I leave this country? What kind of objective am I setting myself for these 2 years I'm spending here? And what kind of job can I do right away that could bring me money right away? And as soon as I arrived in New York, I started realizing that I've been taking a lot of short-term decisions without thinking of the long-term impact on my life and my career. We can't plan everything in advance, but we can try to build a strategy of a professional path that can bring regular income wherever we go. That is why I am a big believer of portable small businesses, and I will try to bring you as many examples on Tandem Nomads of and possible of these small portable businesses and virtual businesses. Internet is also a great tool for expat partners. It might not bring the money right away to have a small business or a career we can take, a portable career, but at least it will help you build up stability along the journey. This is something that a lot of expat partners miss in their lives, is the stability that's also important to be happy. Which actually brings me to the second question. I think it is important to ask yourself when deciding if you want to work or not and what kind of job you can do. The first one was how important the money part of it is for you. And the second is how important is the career for you. Is it important for you to build a stable and progressive resume along the years and a successful career? Is it for you part of your identity, in fact? In this case, we would need to have a totally different strategy than in the first case where the financial security was a priority. I honestly think that this part, the career part, the need of building a stable career, is the most difficult aspect of being an expat partner, more than the financial aspect of financial independence like we talked about at the beginning. Because while you can try to find a job that pays in the countries where you will live, building a successful career that you studied hard for and that in fact is part of your identity is a whole different challenge in relocation as an expat partner. It is a challenge for many reasons. First of all, culture, practices, and management styles can differ dramatically from a country to another, and it can be an obstacle to your own success. It's not because you work in the same field that it's practiced in the same way in every country. That's the first thing. Then, second, certain jobs such as doctors, nurses, or other jobs that require specific licenses, those jobs are difficult to practice in other countries as they might require to have licenses that are applicable for the country where you are, and that can take many years to get. So also not an easy issue for expat partners to continue their careers, the one they always wanted to pursue in relocation. The third issue is that some accompanying spouse visas do not authorize expat partners to work, and this can be very frustrating. The list can go on all the reasons why I think it's quite difficult for expat partners to build their careers. But like I say, I think that every challenge can be turned into an opportunity. It's never impossible. It's just a bit more challenging and needs more effort and creativity to find solutions. Nowadays, the majority of expat partners studied and have a high degree. However, most of them had to give up their career that they wanted to build before meeting with their partners and deciding to follow them abroad. This is something that you really have to consider and prepare for it if you decide to hop on your nomadic tandem and journey as an expat partner. Ask yourself very carefully how important is the initial career you imagine for yourself and what could be the alternatives for you. I know many expat partners who end up not following their partners anymore because it was crucial for their well-being to continue their professional progression. In this case, you have to make sure that the relationship is solid enough to cope with a long-distance relationship or a partner that does not accept jobs abroad anymore and does not evolve himself or herself in terms of career anymore because of your choices. Just like you have to consider if the relationship could survive, knowing that you might resent your partner all your life for being the one for whom you gave up your career aspirations. When I started interviewing expat partners, I realized that there actually are a lot of cases of marital stress due to this issue. So consider what you really want, what your relationship could handle. Communicate openly and regularly with your partner, and do not hesitate to use the help of an external point of view, through, for example, a coach or a counselor. Don't hesitate to really take it seriously and consider your options seriously by investing time and maybe even resources into answering the right question and avoid the tensions that those decisions can create. Once you make your decision, prepare for it and put some effort and creativity to find alternatives. Helping you find these alternatives while thriving in your journey as an expat partner is actually exactly the mission I have set myself with Tandem Nomads. The reason I interview every Monday an expat partner is to give you some inspiration of all the options that exist for you to build a stable and successful career while moving from a country to another. I have so many examples. For example, Katya, that I interviewed recently, who lives in Tokyo, who was in business management, built a great career in business management, and then suddenly stumbled with this issue, couldn't find a job or couldn't find match her lifestyle and her kids with her job, and slowly discovered her talent for yoga and made it her own business. Yoga is a business she could take anywhere she went, no matter the languages, etc. I have another friend, Maria, who took the time while taking care of her two young babies to get a teaching certificate for Spanish. Studying is also an option, and this certificate for Spanish is going to be useful for her in the future, as she will be able to teach Spanish everywhere she goes. I can also give you the example of Steffi, who built a virtual business. She coaches expat partners and international teams online via webinars. She can take her business wherever she goes. So there is a lot of options. You just have to explore and be ready to adapt and maybe change a little bit your initial dreams and your initial wishes. Traveling abroad might actually open your horizons, make you reveal more potential and talent that you might have never thought you had, and discover new career opportunities. Remember, Tandem Nomad's motto, again, is turn the challenges of relocation into great opportunities. So take the chance of living in those varied countries to discover your new talents and your new centers of interests. We answer two questions now. How important financial independence is for you, and how important career is for you? I also offered in the second question some of your options in terms of career and in terms of finding solutions to continue a career, even if it's not the initial career you thought about. Now, there's a third question that you could ask yourself. Is it possible that working for you is important because you want to be active and intellectually challenged? Is it that the main motivation? Because if it's that, then your options are much more different than if your priorities were financial independence or career. They might be actually much more opportunities if your only goal here is to stay active and intellectually challenged. Starting with going back to studying, learning about the country you live in, taking history classes, art classes, developing the activities that were just hobbies for you before. You can also engage in charity work, volunteering for an NGO. So the options are limitless when your objective is to stay active and intellectually challenged. I find that this is one of the greatest things about traveling the world and living in different countries, is this incredible chance to discover new passions and interests that we might have never gone into if we stayed home. Every country can bring us a new learning experience and become part of our rich identity. And the best way to do so is by being curious, meeting new people, asking questions, taking classes, getting involved in local and expat communities, in certain cases, bringing your own assets to help solve local issues and actually make a difference that is much more fulfilling than financial independence or successful traditional career. You can take this chance to really make a difference. A lot of expat partners go with this option and find great satisfactions for them. Some of them have built amazing projects, NGOs, without intended to originally. In certain cases, after a few years, it even opens new job and career opportunities. Because what you've done, whatever it is, can go to your resume and enrich your skills and potential for the future. However, again, make sure that this is what you really want. Although it can be very satisfying personally, this is not the option that always brings the stability and recognition that a job and a career can bring. It can be very rewarding personally, but if you are not ready to go through ups and downs and sometimes lose some motivation, as it is not a clear and visible path from the start. That is why I would also advise you to find some people with whom you can share this exploration journey. Some people who are in the same situation as you and want to try out different things before you make a decision. Okay, this is really the kind of passion, the kind of activity that I want to do. Something that keeps me stimulated and intellectually challenged. So if you are struggling with your professional career, and in order to fully enjoy your experience as an expat partner and be happy with the choices you make, I highly recommend you to consider these three questions that are developed for you today. First, how important is your financial independence for you? Second, how important is for you to build a stable and successful career? 3. How important it is for you to be active and intellectually challenged? Which one of these three points is your priority, and which one fits best to your lifestyle as an expat partner? Also, for each of these questions, you should consider the time frame you want to give yourself and how much stability is important for you. The biggest challenge in each of these cases is if you move from a country to another, the circumstances and opportunities might change. You should consider how flexible you are with your aspirations. If building professional or financial stability across countries is important for you, focus on considering alternatives that would work no matter where you go. You have to strongly believe that there are solutions, because there are always solutions. And if you realize that you're not flexible enough with those aspirations, then maybe it says that you might not be able to go on into the journey. And this is okay too, to just decide to say, no, honey, I'm sorry, I can't go with you. Also, I would like to conclude by saying that although I believe that we should not build our identities on our professional lives, taking the time to answer the question, to work or not to work, can easily turn into a very, very interesting self-exploration journey of who you want to be, and in other words, how you want to live your life, your expat life, and thrive in the backseat of your nomadic tandem. I hope that these tips will be very helpful for you, and I can't wait to see you in the next episode of Tandem Nomads. Nomad Nation, don't miss any of the great inspiration, tips, and insights that we'll prepare just for you. Go to tandemnomads.com and sign up for the newsletter.